Scripture reading this morning, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He laid me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause you to breathe, to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put to breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Praise be to God.
Okay, who wants to sing the song? Them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them. Yeah, the dry bones, the dry bones. Obviously, that story, Ezekiel is in a prophetic dream where he sees these things happen. He sees these bones, dry bones, dead. Israel is dead. The great giants of Israel, the great kings of Israel, are dead. Their nation, the promise, their promised land, dead. But through Ezekiel's dream is a promise of life, that from the dead, new life will come. It's a fitting reading for Pentecost, and I'm going to read the Pentecost reading now, but keep in mind, as I read this, always God is breathing. Adam and Eve story, God breathes and dirt becomes life. The Ezekiel story, God breathes. Ruah, pneuma, spirit, wind, breath, all the same words in both Hebrew and Greek. Ruah means spirit, breath, and wind. Pneuma in Greek means spirit, breath, and wind. So, the breath of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speak in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speak about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" This is the beginning of the church. This is God breathing inspiration into those who were gathered in the wreckage that had been Jesus' ministry. They were gathered in Jerusalem. They were there because Jesus told them to stay there, even though that was not a safe place for them to be, because they were all looking for Jesus' followers. But they were there. They were behind closed doors. And when suddenly this spiritual event occurred where God breathed on them and brought life to that which was decimated. And here we are still today with that life still among us. It all comes down to dry bones. It all comes down to flesh, blood, spirit, and bone. Flesh, blood, and bone we all know well, right? We've got it. Yeah. I hope you've all got it. There are no apparitions here, are there? You're all living still today? Welcome home, Kay, by the way. Flesh, blood, and bone we're used to. In fact, that is most of our reality. Flesh, blood, and bone. That's most of what we think of consciously. But spirit is the most powerful of all of those elements. And it is spirit that really fuels us more than we will ever know. And today, on Pentecost Sunday, which happens to fall on Memorial Day weekend, I want to talk to you about the enduring nature of spirit. And I'm going to try to use words that maybe you haven't heard before, frame it in ways maybe you haven't heard before. But we're going to start with the wind. We're going to start with the spirit. Now, this resonates with me because my journey into ministry began with a big wind. It was 23 years ago this September 23rd that my wife and I and our cat were huddled in the middle of our house as Hurricane Hugo blew over at 105 miles an hour, tearing up trees, destroying the neighborhood, and there we were in the middle of the house. And have any of you ever sat through a hurricane? I mean a hurricane. I want to give you an idea of the sound, but to do it I have to turn up the subwoofer. We're in the middle of this little shotgun shack that was our home. That's what it sounds like. Only it doesn't go on for 5 seconds for fear that you're going to blow a speaker cone. It goes on for like half an hour. It's like laying underneath a freight train while your house is shaking and the windows are rattling and everything that you love is flashing before your eyes. It's a very frightening experience, one that changed me. Now, after that experience, it took me a year before I finally ended up leading an effort through my company to help those people who had no insurance, whose homes were destroyed. And it was through that experience that I realized I wanted to use my communication skills to help other people. And I fought hard for about 4 years not to hear the call to ministry. But finally I could not listen any longer, and I let that big wind blow me where it would, blow through my life, through our life, and into the ministry. And we've been blessed ever since. We've struggled at times, but we've been blessed. We've been blessed. But it all started with God's big wind and that horrible hurricane. And so when I hear about the wind of the Spirit blowing through, the other thing I think of is a Pentecost many years ago when we still lived in the parsonage, when I said, "Dear God, blow through our lives," and at that there was a lightning crack, and we only later found out the lightning crack was our maple tree in the backyard of the parsonage, which had fallen over and crushed our fence. I stopped praying for that at that point. I'm not Peter. Twice is enough for me not to pray for wind. But anyway, the imprint of that event has affected so much throughout. My son wasn't even born when I began my call to the ministry. He's never known me as anything but a minister. And his life has been impacted, and the kids he someday will have. And your lives have been impacted as well by the reaction to that wind blowing through. But let's talk about flesh, bone, and blood, and the impact that they have through the work of the Spirit in them. I'm doing a wedding this afternoon, and the bride knew me because I had done her mother's wedding, a second wedding, 5 years ago. And they were stunned and amazed that 5 years later, a pastor that does 10 to 15 weddings a year could tell them the exact spot they got married, their wedding song that played at the time, and the weather. I let them be stunned and amazed. I didn't tell them that that wedding 5 years ago was on the day of David Good's funeral. And I went right from David Good's funeral at Crosswinds Church around Canandaigua Lake to do a wedding, and then stood there after it was all over with all the swirling emotions after saying goodbye to my dear and complicated friend David Good, going from that to seeing this woman and this man that were about David's age, getting a second chance at life, dancing to Etta James singing At Last on a dock on Canandaigua Lake with a light mist falling. It was a very meaningful moment in my life. And so yesterday, when I drove from Newfane, New York, where my dear friend Judy Ann was saying goodbye to her father, to the wedding rehearsal for the daughter of the woman I had married on the day of David Good's funeral. Click, 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 click. So many things came together. And it was for me a realization of the movement of the Spirit. Every time we say goodbye to someone, someone else is saying hello to somebody. And the Spirit keeps moving, and the Spirit keeps working. It's a marvelous thing. I come to Memorial Day being a Bloomfield born and raised person, so I think of Joe Williams and Kevin Silvernail, a few different people who I remember from pictures in our yearbooks when I was a little kid as having died in Vietnam. And then as an adult, I got to know those families better and realize that these people who died so young still make an impact in our community through their Spirit and the work of their Spirit. I come to church and I think of Kay Sharon and Bill Walters and Al Smith and more people than I can name, Ruth Duroe and Betty Davis, and so many people that have passed on who I can still call up the sound of their voice. And I think of some of you and the people that you mourn who have passed, and how even as you mourn, years and years later, you can still call up their voices and what they would have said to you, can't you? See, that's the Spirit that God has enter each of us. The flesh and the bone and the blood fade away into dust, but that Spirit continues of all who we've said goodbye to. That Spirit continues. This church, there were more people that were part of this church that have died than will ever fit inside this church now. And sometimes you can still hear them moving about in here. And it's a little bit freaky. But it's a good thing, because it reminds us, flesh, bone, and blood we are, but Spirit is what continues and what continues on. And this was what God told Ezekiel at the time when Judah was decimated. It was destroyed. The nation was no more. It had been run over. There were weeds growing up in the courtyard of the temple, or what was left of it. Everything was destroyed. The nation was gone. Now, God could have said a lot of things. God could have just said, you know, I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to build something new with new stuff. But no, God starts with the bones of the dead. God starts with who came before, the bones of the dead, and builds back up from what they did. from their body of work. And the same is true for us. Flesh, blood, spirit, and bone. The spirit that weaves within us goes back generations to decisions people made years and years and decades and centuries and millennia ago, and we're still carrying them inside us to this day. And our communities still thrive on the work of people we don't even know, and some who we do. So we come to Memorial Day, a complicated day, because it is absolutely imperative that we remember these people, almost all of them young, who gave up their lives, who had lives cut short. Some of them had kids, some of them never got that chance to have families of their own. But we come to this day, and we shouldn't just mourn, or they'd call it mourning day. We should remember, and we should look for them and the impact they've made in our world and in our lives. And we should grieve the impact they didn't have a chance to make in our world and in our lives. War is always the result of some human failing. War is always the result of some terrible injustice, some terrible greed, or some terrible mistaken notion. Always, every single time. Because we are not supposed to kill, but sometimes we are forced to. So on Memorial Day, we must remember the tragedy of war. We must go to the graveyard and hear taps played and feel that tug in our heart and remember that these were people, these were flesh, blood, and bone, and they continue to be spirit. They continue to be spirit. That which God gave them and which passes along beyond. And on Pentecost, we should recognize this spirit all the more. We should recognize that where we are and who we are is the result of so many people and so much effort that came before us. We should recognize that God has been blowing through our lives ever since the first of humanity, and how we choose to use the Spirit in our own lives affects not just us, but all who will come after us. As lightly as we may tread on the earth, our spirit endures on and on and on. This is God's promise to Ezekiel. This is Jesus' promise to the disciples. This is the disciples' promise to us on Pentecost. The Spirit lives on, and we must care for it now, here among us. Now, after our final hymn, I'm going to play a song by a former member of a group called the Drive-By Truckers, which you'll get applause from this side of the room. Jason Isbell, and it's a song called Dress Blues. And the video is, you know the little cameras on the front of state troopers' vehicles? The entire video is the video from the front of a state troopers' vehicle in a procession bringing a body home from the war to Meridian, Mississippi. And I show this not to be morbid. I show this to think of that man's spirit and hear the words that Jason is singing of that spirit, to remember your loss and the casualties of war throughout the ages and the casualties of just being mortal, and realizing that the Spirit moves on in our communities, in our hearts, in our institutions, and in God's green earth. But first, let's sing our closing hymn, number 419.